And I want to do a lesson this morning on developing our children. And let me just say right off the bat, I don't come at you as someone, you know, you do this or else. Some things that I preach on are just a matter of helping or just giving some ideas or just encouraging you. Are there pens back there, guys? If you need a pen, just raise your hand up. We got some pens available for you as well. All right, I saw somebody's looking in their pockets for pens. And anybody else? There's one over here, a couple in the front here. All right. Anybody else need a pen? I went and bought some pens at Staples this week for that particular reason. Amen. I notice our visitor pens are disappearing, so I figure we better supply some cheaper ones. All right. And, like I was saying, it's, the things that we teach in Sunday school or my preaching, like, especially stuff like this that I'm going to talk about today, you have your own home. You know your children better than anybody. I mean, really. And, I don't really have the right to come and tell you exactly what to do in your homes. And so when I preach something like this, I hope you can take it with a grain of salt, as what I'm just really trying to do is just help you along, give you some pointers and tips and things that may help you along the way, develop your children. And so I just want to say that I don't want to offend anybody in anything. I don't think it is offensive, but yet I just wanted to qualify that. Daniel 1. And this particular book is a great book of the Bible, very prophetic in many ways further on, but a lot of very practical things as well. The book takes place during a time of the Babylonian captivity, and this is Daniel was one of the first captives to be brought to Babylon as a young boy, and we believe he was about 14 to 16 years old at the time that he was brought there. And so he was going to spend the next 70 years in this captivity representing God to this heathen nation and changing the nation. In fact, I believe it's directly because of him that Nebuchadnezzar finally got saved. And I believe that Nebuchadnezzar did get saved. I believe that he came to himself and said, you know what, God is the boss. I think he repented of his pride. And Daniel had a great impact on the nation as a man. But that didn't start as a man, that started as a boy. And that's something I want us to see here within this passage, that the reason why Daniel became what Daniel became is because of what happened to him when he was younger and how he was taught and how he was developed and prepared for this particular purpose. And so I'm going to read to you, why don't we read through this account here, the first 16 verses, and then I'll get into our points. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of the Lord, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your face as worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days, and at the end of 10 days their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would be with us during this Sunday school hour. And Lord, use this lesson to build us, to help us to do better with our children, or maybe just to change some things that would make a better outcome. Whatever it is, Lord, I just pray you'd speak to our hearts and use this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so our worksheet... My iPad's shutting off on me here. Let's read through the opening paragraph. Every parent knows their children better than anybody else and can see what makes each one unique. Don't you ever sit around, parents, and look at your kids and talk about the uniqueness of each one? And for us, we do, well, we got a lot to talk about. We got 8. So, oh yeah, this one's like this. And oh, I forgot about that one. Oh, he still lives with us, doesn't he? No, I'm just kidding. But you look at them, you know, each one of your kids are very unique. And I know you may have one or two kids. You say, well, I only got one to, well, that's still unique. Amen. But when you get a bunch of them together, you can definitely tell that God makes each one differently. Amen. When you start having kids, one isn't just like the other, and the other one just like the other. They are all completely unique, and that I've seen with my children, and I think that's with probably every family that's out there. And a parent knows that best. Why? Because you're with them all the time. You think about them all the time. You pray for them. You spend time with them. You help them when they're hurt. You know how they react to problems. You know how they take in things, how they process, how they deal with problems, how they handle pressure. You know their strengths, their weaknesses. All of these things the parents know. They see their strengths, their weaknesses. Daniel was a tremendous example, being a young man, 14 to 16 years old, when taken captive to Babylon. He was inserted into a wicked society with a pagan religion. He was targeted as one that would be taught the language of Babylon and bridge the gap between Babylon and Israel. At the same time, he maintained his loyalty to the Lord and to what was taught by his parents and teachers. Daniel had mental abilities, and you see that in verse number 4. Let me just turn there. Children in whom there is no blemish, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge. He had social abilities, and it says, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace. And so this young man had the ability to stand in a social setting and function in that setting. And that's another aspect of developing our kids, is that social aspect. Then also convictions. Of course, he purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. This is at 14 to 16 years old. I mean, today we get a child like that, we say, wow, that's pretty spectacular. It shouldn't be that uncommon. And it should be more common. But yet you can see the impact that Daniel's parents and his teachers had upon his life. The ones that taught him these things, the one that gave him these examples to follow. And yet when he was placed into that wicked society, he didn't just go with the flow. He didn't just put his hands up or say, oh, well, now here's an excuse for me to leave home and leave all of the rules and leave. That's not how he thought. He thought, you know what, now's the time for me to put into practice all the things that I've been taught by my parents and my teachers and, you know, my preacher, my Sunday school teachers and all of that. This is the time that I'm supposed to shine. Amen. And that's exactly what he did. He also had faith. Because not only did he have conviction not to defile his flesh, but he had the faith to tell this eunuch, give us 10 days. He believed that he would be better off following God than he would be giving in to this society. That, my friend, is faith. That's faith on his part, where he says, you know what, I'm going to step out here by faith, believing that just by doing what God asked me to do, by following my convictions, that things are going to be better for me than if I wouldn't. And he stuck his neck out that way in this wicked kingdom where they would snuff out a life for just like that, for no reason whatsoever. It's kind of, you look at Nazi Germany and the way they would just kill people. That's how it was in Babylon. That king could just say the word and that person would be taken out to the back and his head cut off so quickly. And that's, yet he stepped out by faith because he trusted his God. Man, I tell you, for our young people to have that kind of faith, amen, that's what we want. We want them to believe that. We want them to have convictions, but we also want them to have the faith that by holding those convictions, better things are going to happen. Better things are going to happen. Amen? Not always just banking for, well, you know, I'm scared. If I follow God, then it's all going to turn against me. Or many times we as parents, we teach them that. We teach them that. But the things that we do, the way we withhold ourselves from the Lord, the way that we don't surrender because it may cost us something. Amen? And that's the faith we're teaching to our kids. So I wouldn't doubt that Daniel's parents, they also had that kind of faith. Kind of like we've been looking at with Timothy, how that he had the faith that his grandmother and his mother had. And he had it in him also. Amen. So there's conviction. There's a biblical principle that we make our own. But with that biblical principle, there has to be a faith added personally where we will work that out no matter what comes against it. Because it's amazing how our convictions are tested. And when they're tested, that's when we know whether they are real or not. Amen. We talk the talk, but that's what we've been talking about in James, where it says, you can't say you have faith without works. Amen. Your faith must have works. You know, your belief, your conviction has to be followed by action. If there's no action to your faith, then it's really not true faith. Amen. And that's what we need to be teaching into our, developing into our children. And first, developing that into our lives as well and challenging ourselves that way. Number one, areas that need developing in our children. Letter A is the heart. We know this one, very important. I'm a big believer in this. Our goal should be to embed truth deep in the hearts of our children. This is so important for us. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I don't have my scripture written out of my notes like usual, so you may like that. You'll actually have time to turn. In fact, you'll probably beat me there. We'll go to Deuteronomy. I won't tell you the exact where until I get there. No, Deuteronomy 4:9. It says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons. Amen. So the heart has a lot to do with being developed and taught and so forth. And our goal should always be for truth to get into the heart. What's the opposite to that? Or what is the other option there? The other option is developing a list of rules and just climbing your kid's case every time they break a rule. Amen. That's trying to conform a behavior. Now, there's an aspect to that that we have to do. I mean, our children behave wrong. We have to discipline them, correct them, and they have to submit to that particular rule. But yet you cannot negate the fact that on top of that discipline, on top of that requiring of following rules, there has to be a relationship with mom and dad. You can't just be the rule maker. You can't just be the discipliner. Amen? You got to be a father. You got to be a mother. You know, there has to be a heart relationship. Without having a heart relationship, it's going to be hard for you to get that truth into the heart of your child. They don't just open up their hearts for no reason. Amen. Especially if they're being hurt and being hurt in a way that is not right. You know, the first thing we do, and you know this as well as I, even as an adult, when someone hurts you, you shut off your heart to them. Now, what they say has very little weight with you. They may say some things and it may even be right, but because it's coming from them, I don't want to hear you, you know? And so what we have to do is make sure we keep that relationship strong with our kids so that when we say something, that they'll actually receive it. And they say, oh, Dad just told me something. This is important to him. You know, it's important to our kids. I don't know if with all of them, some of them, for sure, hopefully all of them, but that they care what Dad thinks about them. They want Dad to think well about them and who they are. You know, they want us to praise them. Amen. That is such an important thing. I'm going to talk about that today a little bit, this aspect of praise, because I think that's what's missing a lot of the time in our homes, because we get so regimented, and maybe because we feel we're behind the eight ball most of the time and I'm not what I ought to be. We're trying to force our kids to become more because we feel that we're not enough. And yet we totally forget that that's not how a relationship is developed. That's not how a child grows. Amen. You can't force growth. Anybody will tell you that with a child that is born, in order for that child to actually grow at a proper rate, they need a love relationship. Physically. Their physical bodies don't grow properly in a bad atmosphere. I've had times where I've had families that were in a bad situation, and when that situation resolved, the children began to grow. They began to actually grow physically. Because bad things in the home keep our children from growing, not just spiritually, but physically as well. The physical life is challenged by that. And that's why we need to be very serious about this. Now I've got to turn this thing on again. All right. And so, number two, we must be careful not to boast of our child's giftedness without understanding the need for a right heart. And this is where many times, you know, we know maybe that I haven't been what I ought to be for my kids. My kids aren't where they ought to be. And maybe they're not even caring about the things of God. So what we'll do is we'll begin to brag upon those things that maybe they naturally have an ability for. And that will become our area of praise. Amen. And we got to be careful about that, because if that's all they have, then how are they going to be encouraged to grow in other areas? They have to realize, okay, I'm glad that you're gifted here, but remember, this is far more about what's going on in here. You know, and they have to have that. I'm not saying don't praise them for the things they do. And you need to do that. But yet at the same time, don't neglect the fact that there are some things in their heart that have to be attitudes and different things that have to be right. And they are far more worthy of praise than how good they play the piano or how well they build something or whatever, how smart they are in school. You know, those are good things, but those aren't nearly as good as having a heart that is right with God and an attitude, a spirit that's developed because there's a relationship with the Lord in their life and a relationship with mom and dad. That is worthy of praise. Amen. Even the Bible talks about that, how that to God, the meek and quiet spirit in the sight of God is of great price, the Bible says. It says, let it not be the outward adorning. Let it not be the outward things that you count as important to your life. Because the Bible says that God looks on your heart and says, that's what's important. That's what I'm looking for. Amen. And that meek and quiet spirit. So it's more than just dolling ourselves up or making ourselves look good or wearing a nice tie or wearing a nice suit. It's about getting our hearts right. And that's where we have to focus with our kids as well. Oh, I should have shut this thing off. I'm going to put in my code many times this morning. Maybe more than I thought. Let's see. There we go. All right, and that's Proverbs 4, Verse 23, I believe that verse is, I'm going to try it offhand here. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so basically it's from where the heart, what's in the heart is what's going to be produced from that life. And so if I'm focusing on the natural gift, which they do have, I mean, there's lost people that have natural gifts. There's heathen that have natural gifts. There's atheists that have natural gifts. There's very smart people out there, but they deny God and they curse Jesus Christ. And so that's not necessarily worthy of my praise as much as what's going on in the heart, because out of that is where all the issues of life come from, is from the heart. That's where they proceed from. And so letter B, character must have priority over talent. Talent without character will lead to failure. All right? Talent without character will lead to failure. And I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 10. Look at this verse here. Verse number 1. The Bible says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You know what makes a person a fool? Their character. You know what makes a person wise? Their character. And that's not talent. That's not giftedness. That's talking about the character. There's a missionary by the name of Eric Little. Eric Little was a Olympic level athlete in Britain. And he was actually chosen to actually run in the Olympics. And his certain race, I think, was the 100 meter. I forget exactly what it was. And what happened is he went over there, but they decided to put his race on a Sunday. And so what he did, representing a whole nation, said, I'm not going to run on Sunday. He did this for the Lord. And his whole nation rose up against him. They began to criticize him. How dare you do that against us? And so forth. But he stuck to his guns. He stuck to his conviction because he had character. And though everybody turned against him, he says, this is between me and God. Amen. Wow, that's character, man. That's integrity. That is something far deeper than just talent and ability. That, my friend, is worth praise. And it would happen to be that he missed out on that race, which was his specialty, which he probably could have easily won. But now, this coming week, there was another race available. That was a 400 meter, if I'm right. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong. This is all off my memory here. It could be a little more. What was that, John? Do you know which one it is? Is it the 400? Okay, anyways, that doesn't matter. Anyways, it was a longer race. And you know what? He went and he won that thing. Then, now he's our champion again. You know, man will praise you for whether you win the race. God praises you for whether you have the integrity to stand upon your character. So everybody will always praise you when you, I won the game. But man, to take those hard stands that you have to stand alone like Daniel, all by himself, and purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself. That's exactly what Eric Little did. And he went on to be a missionary to China and so forth. And he has a great story. You got to look up Eric Little, and I'm sure that'd be a blessing to you. But that's just an example that came to my heart when I thought about this particular principle. Number two, we must praise character over talent. And I think I've already talked about this, but I will read Proverbs 23, verse number 15. It says, my son, if thine heart be wise, it says, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. You know what that is? That's a dad looking at his son and saying, you know what makes me rejoice, son, is when you say good things. When out of your mouth, I know it comes from a heart that's right with God, and your lips are speaking the right words. Amen. That is so true. Because our kids say all kinds of foolish things, you know. But when they learn throughout their life and they're developed, where they begin to work in their heart in such a way where now out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now the things that I'm saying are wise. I'm beginning to make decisions and saying things. You know, Dad, I think this is why we ought to do this. And Dad looks at you and says, wow, that came from a deep place there, son. Praise God. My heart rejoices that you're dealing with things on that level of integrity. It's not always what my flesh wants. It's not always, this isn't fair. I mean, it's from a place that God put wisdom there. And now out of that is flowing these words out of your mouth. And the Bible says that this father, Solomon, rejoiced in this. Amen. And that's what we ought to praise. And that's why I say this. Our praise, we got to praise character over talent every time. And I know sometimes talent, I remember for me, growing up in my background, talent, I thought that was everything. And so I tried to work on talent. I tried to bank on my talent above my character. And I began to realize as I lived my life that my talent wasn't delivering anything into my life at all. But as the Lord changed my heart and the character came in, that's when my life began to flourish. Not because of my talent. And now those things that I regarded talent from way back there, I've left a lot of those things on the wayside. The thing that I would look at as the most important thing to me became the least important thing. You know? Because I thought that would give me the respect. That would give me what I'm looking for in my inner life. You know, that satisfaction. You know, that joy. And you know, it didn't come from that. It didn't come from talent. You know? And what I found didn't come from talent. It came later on when Christ came into my heart and began to develop the way that I thought, the way that I had convictions about things, the decisions I made for my family, the decisions I made to surrender to service and those type of things. Those are the things that brought that joy into my life. Amen. And that's what our kids need to learn. And that's how we develop their character. Letter C, spiritual aptitude. Number one. Parents must watch for how God is working in our child's heart. And there's all kinds of things. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. There's a lot of characteristics that your child has that a parent ought to be watching for. And we ought to be taking note of these spiritual aptitudes that our children have. Because many times, God in their heart, if they've been saved, and they're growing with you, you're going to church, you're spending time, you're reading the Bible, they're seeing how important it is for you to be close to God and have God in your life. They begin to grow and they begin to have things develop in their heart. And what you need to do is watch as a parent say, what is coming out of my child's life? Because that's probably going to give you some idea of what direction the Lord is leading your child in. You know, in order to be a pastor, you've got to have a certain kind of heart. In order to be other things, you'd have a different kind of heart. You know, there is a thing as a pastor's heart. And some people have it, some people don't. But it doesn't mean that you have to have a pastor's heart. But you should have some kind of a heart. And in that heart will be spiritual aptitudes that the Lord is building and giving you the ability. An evangelist doesn't necessarily have a pastor's heart, but he has a heart for souls. And you'll start seeing these things being developed in our young people. Amen. Bless you. Amen. All right. Number two, be careful to allow your child to exercise their spiritual gift. And that's why you have to determine what that gift is. In our Wednesday nights, I've been going through a series on the spiritual gifts. I've started, I don't know, a month back. I don't know when it was. Probably more than that. And I've been going over the personal gifts, and now I've been going over the seven practical spiritual gifts, and just talking about what these things are. What does it mean to have a gift of prophecy? What does it mean to have ministry or giving? And we had one on giving last week. That's always everybody's favorite. Amen? If you're a giver, it never bothers you. When you don't have that gift, it bothers me more. And so these type of things, you can actually begin to tell in your child whether your child is a giver. And you know what? They're wanting to give away stuff. You know, they got toys. And they said, I gave it to my friend. I said, I paid $100 for that. Well, I want to give it to my friend. And here you got to be careful, because I'm thinking through my eyes and what I paid for that thing. But yet the child is doing this because of this spiritual aptitude that the Lord is building in their heart. So I got to be careful not to say, oh, that's wrong. Whoa. Here God's building a spiritual gift in my child, and here's dad who's supposed to develop that gift saying that's wrong. You know, maybe I could give them some pointers and say, well, next time maybe talk to me about it before you do that. But I really appreciate how you care about that neighborhood kid. Right. And you got to really praise that, you know, because that is one of those things that ought to be praised above being good at football or baseball or stuff like that. That, my friend, that is life. That is life. Amen. And so we have to be careful about that. Letter D is natural gifts. Help your children develop their natural gifts as well. In Proverbs 18, verse 16, I'm going to turn there since I'm in Proverbs. It says, a man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. And bringeth him before great men. That means that your abilities will actually find a way to express themselves in great opportunities when you have good character. Amen? You never have to sit there and say, oh, nobody ever uses me, and you know, hey, there's nobody's going to stand in your way of you fulfilling God's will for your life. The only one that can mess with God's will for you is you. And that's where there has to be an evaluation of this thing right there. Well, I got all these abilities. I think abilities, I'm trying to say it here. That means nothing. What means something is if it comes from a heart that's right with God. But we're looking at our abilities. Oh, why don't they use me? I got abilities. Folks, some people think it's all about abilities. As a pastor, I don't just look for ability. You know, you'd have a church, a real mess, if everybody just took positions because they had abilities. Because it's far more than that when you're ministering to people. In fact, sometimes I would rather sacrifice on the ability to have someone in place that's got a right heart. Because that's more important. You know what I mean? And so you got to be careful when you're judging things within the church. Say, well, that person, look how talented they are. Why aren't they using that person? That pastor doesn't know what he's doing, you know. And maybe I don't know what I'm doing. But maybe I do. Maybe it's because I know there's something not quite right there. Something that needs to be worked through in their own life. And by putting them in that position would just hinder them from dealing with that. And it would take years for them to have that dealt with. When you just leave somebody to get under the preaching, I remember I had one guy, and I was just trying to get him just come to church and take in the service. But his whole issue was he wanted to be used, wanted to use me, but he wasn't ready. Because we don't understand this. We say, oh, I want to be used now. Okay, now let me ask you this. You want to be used today? Now, everybody that saw you today, will they see you tomorrow? And everybody that sees you tomorrow, will they see you here next week? It's easy to get yourself on a soapbox and say, look at me and my ability. But it's far more about people looking at your faithfulness, looking at the character of your life and realizing this person is a man that stands with God and stands with the church and stands with what God is doing here and is sacrificing. Folks, that is far more valuable than any ability you can have. I'm so glad that the judgment seat of Christ is not based upon the way I can sing a song. Amen. Because I'd be doing pretty poorly before the judgment seat of Christ. But you know what he wants? He just wants people to be faithful. Have a right heart and be faithful. Anybody can do it. I don't care what your IQ is. I don't care how much talent you have. Too many people waste their time sucking their bottom lip because, oh no, I can't do this. I'm not as good as that person. You know what you can do? You can do exactly what the most important thing before God is to do, and that's be a faithful Christian. Yeah. Don't bellyache about anything else. Because if you give your life to becoming a faithful Christian, you will have enough work for the rest of your days. For the rest of your days. Amen? That's what I believe we need to look at. I believe we had a church full of that kind of heart. Oh, we could shake this whole city. I really believe it. I believe that everybody would know who Heritage Baptist Church is and what it is they're trying to accomplish here. Not because we're great, but they would know our Savior. They would know why we do it. Amen? So important. Anyways, that's my soapbox for the morning. Natural abilities. And so, number two, good character will help your child bring those gifts to the point of usability. And so, we all have gifts, but remember I'm talking about gifts on Wednesday night. Our gifts have an engine. That means it's kind of like buying a car. You can have a car with a body, but if you got no engine, it's not going anywhere. And if you've got a spiritual gift, that gift has an engine too. And that gift, or that engine, is the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. And the Bible says, the things that I do, he says, I labored not in vain. But he says, it's not I that labored, but the grace that is in me. The grace labored. Amen? The grace is the engine to the gift. How do I get grace? Humble yourselves to God. The Bible says, those that humble themselves, He'll give grace unto the humble. So in order for me to have an engine for my gift, I have to be humble. Amen? That's what we have to promote for our kids. And come at the Lord lowly, not highly. Look how great I am. That's what happens when we focus on our talents. We don't focus on our talents. We focus on who we are in our base person and how much we need God. And when we come before God like that with that humble heart, then He says, let me make up all the difference. All the difference. I'll put the engine in your life to drive you and to make you labor and to accomplish the things that you need to accomplish. Very good stuff. And so that's why our kids need to become usable, but they need to have that humility. They need to have that grace. And that's part of that character that they need. Letter E, creative gifts. There's musical abilities with David. We know that he played with his hands. The Bible says that the evil spirit departed from Saul because of the skillfulness that David had in playing the musical instrument. We do believe in being good at what we do. We believe in practicing and working at it and becoming better and skillful. We think the Lord is worth that. Amen? He is worth it for us to do our best and to become the best at what we do for Him. That's why we do it. And so some of your child may have musical ability. So that means you have to say, well, you've got musical ability. That means that dad's now got to help you develop that. Amen. We got to make that happen. We got to get them lessons. We got to get them an instrument. We got to do something to help them in that particular talent. Then there's art. You look at in Exodus. I'm not going to read through this because I don't know what my time is. We're almost out right now. In Exodus, there were people that did things with cunning work. They did cunning work, the Bible says, and they were able to fashion all those things for the tabernacle. You know, God thought that was of high value. And so we have to determine whether our child really has artistic ability to design things and to make things like that and help them develop that. Then literature. Maybe your child can write. They know how to express themselves with words and so forth. We need Christian people to write books. We really do. What about construction? Building things. Some of our kids have talent to build things. They like building things. Starts with Lego. Amen. From there they go to other things, to 2x4s and then whatever else. But, you know, do they have that ability? Help them along that way. Get them their first hammer. Get them a saw. Get them a couple of nails. You know, buy them some wood. You know, sometimes maybe get them a little carving block. Get them some tools. If they got that artistic ability, you know, just get that rolling with them to see where that takes them. And then, of course, today we have technology and design. Technology is a big deal today. I think it's important. I think the church needs people that understand technology. You know how big part of that is of our church right now? That's why I put up a lot of attention to it. Our live streaming, who knows what's going to happen with the meeting place again? Hearing of lockdowns and all kinds of things coming. It may have to go back to live streaming. You wouldn't have that without technology. I'm glad I got a couple of boys that know how to push the buttons. Amen. And I want to develop that. I'll say, hey, kids, what do you need? Let's make this work. And, you know, I'm willing to invest in that type of thing. Number six, teach your child to use the gift to serve God. And that's the biggest thing. They'll have all kinds of interests, all kinds of abilities, but it's up to the parent to steer them to use it for God's service. And I was telling my kids this week, I was saying, kids, we do a lot of things every week. You know, it's not a big deal to take 1 hour, 2-3 hours a week and put some door hangers out and do something for God. I said, we got 168 hours. And how many does God really get of our energy in serving Him? And that's what I tell my kids. I said, we need to do this. This isn't, I know it's cold. You know, we went out on Thursday, I believe it was, out to Crossfield. And I took about three of my boys and Dan Fenske. And it was a lot colder on Thursday than it was on Friday or on Saturday. And, or did we go Friday? I forget. But our kids, man, their hands were cold. I said, you know, but it's worth it, isn't it? It's worth it. And then we went out Saturday and it was a lot nicer. Everybody came out. Hey, this is great. Let's stay out all afternoon. You know, you did a good job, by the way. And, letter F, physical abilities. Be careful of your child's diet. Keep your child active. I mean, these things, you know. Letter G, academics. Parents are responsible to protect their children from ungodly influences in education. Very important to understand that. Folks, we'll answer to God for how our children have been taught and who we put as teachers over them. And if there's a teacher over my child, I'm responsible. And you have to make sure that the situation you put your child in isn't going to hurt them. The philosophies they're taught are far more dangerous than 1 + 1 = 2. Amen? And that's very important. Number two, always train your children in a godly, in godly Christian environments. I think God wants our children to have a Christian education. They need to be taught sound doctrine, and they got to be kept away from bad doctrine. Amen? And we know that, you know what's going on today? In the States right now, you know what that's from? That's from the days that we said, let's not pray in schools anymore. That's from the days that we said, let's take the Bible out of schools, and humanism came in. Humanism came in, teachers with humanistic ideas have come in, and they've taught these kids against freedom principles, against liberty, and they've taught them the principles that have enslaved generations before. And now you have 33% of young people voting for communism in the United States of America. You know why that is? Teachers. Teachers. That's why they're doing this. If they wouldn't have those teachers, if they would have had parents that cared about their character and their spiritual aptitude, you would not have this problem going on in the States today, nor in Canada. Amen? Yeah. I think that's very notable for us to look at. All right, then I left you a couple points here. Strategy for our children. Make a list of character traits you want in your kids. And you can write, fill in the blanks. They gave you some there to start. Letter B, list the character traits you see in your child and praise them when you notice them. Show them. And so write them down. I mean, make a list of each child and say, these are what I see in them. And when you see them show that to the brothers or sisters or to you, you immediately say, hey, good job. Because what you're doing is you're promoting these things that God is doing in their heart. And you're building on that. I remember one time my mother, I'm going to take this time here. She was good at this. She would, it's not that I was good at this, but there was this big tree we had in our front yard. And the tree was probably about 4 feet around. They cut it down. They took all the big stuff out. But there's a lot of little branches and things all over. From a tree that size, it was just a huge... I got on the tractor and I got my little trailer behind and I went and started picking up every one of those. You know what my mother said to me in the middle of doing this? Boy, you're just the kind of son that always finishes what he starts. You know, I thought, oh, really? Okay. And then, and you know what? That made me feel good because it made me feel that my mother saw something in me and it was a good thing. And so now it drove me, it made me want to make sure that every twig was picked up off of that yard. So in doing that, I don't know if she wanted to do it on purpose, but that's the effect it had on me, where I said, now, boy, and ever since that day, and I'm going to finish this. She instilled that in me, you know? I don't know if it was there before, or it was just because she did it at the right time, I don't know. But you know, those are the kinds of things we can do with our kids. And when you see that particular trait in them, you say, wow, you know, that is a fantastic characteristic to have in your life. And I just want to commend you for that son or daughter or whatever, you know. And you know what that'll do? It'll make them develop that even more. It'll push them forward. Instead of us always harping on the weaknesses. Oh, you're not good there. You're not good there. You know, the other son's good at this. This son's not. We can keep harping on this guy's weakness and then praising this guy's strength in that area, because sometimes we as dads, we have specific things that we think are important. Whether it be hunting or fishing or whatever. But some kids aren't into that. But they have other strengths. And so we've got to be careful as dads. We have our strengths, we have our weaknesses, and sometimes we accentuate the things that we think are important. Well, we've got to look at our kids in a very balanced way and say, you know what? This kid has that strength. I'm going to praise that. This one has that strength. I'm going to praise that. And then it's okay to say, you know, son, I'd like you to work on this. You're really good at this, but I'd sure like you to work on that, because that's going to hurt you if you don't get that dealt with, you know. And then they can take it because they know you love them. They know you praise them. They know that you're important to them, and so forth. Amen. Anyways, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would just bless this lesson. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our children. Lord, it's helped me. I pray, Lord, that I'd be able to implement some of these things as well. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us in our next hour as well. Just bless our service now. In Jesus' name, amen.